Luke 8, verse 40 to 56. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And a woman that was there too, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding you and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "Child, my child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what happened.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gigi, for reading that for us. Well, my name is Michelle, and I'm our Family Ministries pastor here, and it is so great to see all of you here today and all of our kids. If you're a kid, can I hear you say, "Hey-o"? Come on. Hey-o. Okay. I guess that's all you got for me. I will take it. Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be on staff here with our wonderful team, Liv and Carly, with our children's ministry. And let me tell you, parents, that it is our joy to have your kids come for an hour every Sunday. And we get to just pour the love of Jesus into their lives through our small group leaders and as we teach the Word of God to them. It is our joy, and we thank you that you would entrust us to do that. We want to see our families just receive the good news of Jesus every week. We pray for you. We love you. We love your kids. We love you as families. We love our church. And we're here all together to raise up the next generation to be bearers of the gospel to our people, to our country. So we love you, kids. So glad you're here. I was actually able to visit a family this week with Carly, and we were in their house, and if I could go to all of your houses, I would love that. I love people. I'm a little bit extroverted. If you want to invite me over for dinner, love to see your home, your decor. I'm just curious. So anytime, just ask. Anyway, so I was at this family's house, and one of the girls, she was playing slapjack, and she was shuffling, and she asked me, "Michelle, can you shuffle? Can you shuffle?" And I was like, "Yeah, I can." And she said, "No, can you do the bridge shuffle?" And I said, "Yeah, I can." Because I learned one week in Penticton, I took a whole week on my vacation as a 14-year-old to learn how to do the bridge shuffle. I want to show you today, okay? You got to take this side of the cards, kids and parents. Some of you don't know either. This side of the cards and this side of the cards, and you have to do your natural shuffle. You know, some people can do that. But the key for the bridge is to take your cards, holding them in tension, and holding them in between your hands. You have to create the tension within your hands and arc the cards And with that tension, you let go, and the cards fall into place. Pretty cool, hey? Yeah? Are you impressed? You should be. I worked really hard on this. Weeks. Like, it took a week. Just day in and day out in Penticton. There we go. The tension. Yeah. I'm really glad I didn't mess up on that. Because, you know, if you mess up without the tension, cards kind of fall wherever. But with the tension, things are, you're holding it, and things fall into place. I bring that up today because today is a day where we our intention. As a church, we come today and we celebrate these children that are brought to the Lord, dedicated to God. And we see their lives, and we say, thank you, God. And on the other hand, we mourn. There's a lot of things that happened this week. Families, dear families in our church that have lost a loved one unexpectedly. And we come to today and we sit and stand in that tension, celebrating and mourning, seeing suffering and longing for healing. And as a community, we will do that often. We'll have someone on this side praising God and another coming in and asking God why. And that's the role of the church. We come every Sunday. We sit in that tension together. And there's something important about that as a community. Well, today we are wading into that tension as well. And we're looking at Luke 8. And the writer of Luke, he was all about telling us who Jesus is and what he came to do. He had compassion on people. He healed people. And he did miracles. And in his miracles, it wasn't just for one person. No, it was pointing anyone who watched, even us today, to show us that Jesus was in the business of healing everything. And that's what we are looking at today. So let's go to the passage. Let's unpack it together. If you have your Bibles with me, you can open it up to Luke 8, and we're going to walk through the Word of God together. So we see Jairus. He is here, and he comes. And this passage it's so dramatic. I don't know if you look at it and you read it. There is, like, chaos. There's loud voices. Jairus comes in panic. And we also see Jesus slowing down at particular moments. He's slowing down to listen, to look out, to look at people face to face, to reach a hand out. So we see the drama, and we see the peace in this passage as well. So Jairus comes to Jesus, and he's a synagogue leader. Who would have heard about what Jesus has done? In the stories previous to this passage, there's so many miracles. I just don't have time to share what Jesus has done. I encourage you to sit and read this week in the Word what Jesus has done. Luke writes it so beautifully, the miracles that he has done. And Jairus would have heard about these. He would have heard about the power of Jesus and his power to heal people by a word and raise people from the dead. So I imagine that Jairus, like, he comes to Jesus, he falls at his feet in desperation. And what he does is, I lost my place here. He falls at his feet in desperation. He says, come to my house, my only daughter, a girl is dying. And so Jesus, he walks with Jairus, and the crowds are all around him, crushing him. And he's walking with Jairus to his house. And while they're on the way, a woman comes, and she comes behind everybody else and is coming to touch Jesus in the crowd. What do you feel about crowds? Like, for me, crowds are, like, they're busy. And more so in the pandemic, you kind of want to avoid them, don't you? When I was a kid, like, my sister hated crowds. And we went into a crowd every summer. We went to the Calgary Stampede. So in July, I was a Calgary girl. And in July, there was one Sunday a month, or Sunday, in the Stampede where kids could go for free. So if you got into the Stampede grounds before 8 a.m., you got your wristband, then you could come in for free. But as we all know, kids, it was a Sunday. So you got to go to church, right? So we went to the Stampede grounds before 8, got our wristbands, left, went to church, had lunch, drove back downtown, parked the car, and got into the crowd of the Stampede. And it was so busy. Everyone wants to be at the Stampede. Everyone wants to be a cowboy and wear plaid. And everyone wants to eat something deep fried. And everyone wants to be, like, touching the animals and the bunnies and see the fireworks at the end of the night. So it's a really fun, crazy, crowded place. And I remember I was a little girl, and I was afraid of being lost. They had this little booth. You had to get a bib if you were a certain age that had your mom's number on it. So if you got lost, they could call, and you would be able to find your mom. And as a little girl, I always remember just looking for a hand to hold in the sea of the crowd. I was just always reaching out, looking for a hand to hold in the sea of the crowd. And I think of this woman in the sea of the crowd. She is in need. She's been bleeding for 12 years. To be considered clean in this day and age, you would have had to not bleed for 7 years. And for her, she's been bleeding constantly for 12. And this would have outcasted her in so many ways and in so many places and from so many people. The writer of the Gospel of Mark, he writes in more detail on this. He said that she went from physician to physician to physician, only getting worse with each treatment. She never got better. She only got worse. Luke doesn't elaborate on this as much as Mark does, but he just makes it clear that she's hopeless. And what she's doing is she's searching in the crowd. So she reaches out. She reaches out to touch, because she too had heard of the healing power of Jesus. Luke said in chapter 5, verse 17, that the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And she believed. Her faith in Jesus, just like Jairus, was so desperate, so strong, that even to touch his garment would heal her from the isolation, from the pain, and the world that she was imprisoned in. So she touches his hem, and Jesus feels the power leave him, and her bleeding stopped as immediately as the wind and waves were stopped just a few stories ago, where Jesus, he calmed the storm with a word. That's how quickly her healing or her bleeding stopped. He has the power over wind and waves. He has the power to heal our bodies. And so here, there's still chaos in the crowd. She reaches out to touch. They're walking to Jairus' daughter, but yet Jesus stops. He slows everything down, all the pressure, all the demand, and he even slows down the panic of Jairus, and he says, "Who touched me?" He keeps Jairus beside him, holding in one hand all that is happening with his dying daughter. And in the other hand, he looks out for her. "Who touched me?" So verse 47, "Then the woman, seeing that she could no longer go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" Jesus looks out for her, and he sees her. And he says so much to her in this passage. He calls her daughter. After 12 years of her being isolated from people and places, he brings her in into the family of God. And he says, "Your faith has healed you." It's not just the magical touch of Jesus alone, but it is in her faith to reach out the belief that he had the power in his body to heal her. And even more so, her sharing with the crowd, he sends her in peace. And the word peace can also be seen as shalom, which is to restore every part of us, our mind, our body, our soul, our strength. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Everything has changed for her. I want to invite my friend Kayla to come up, and she has a story that she wants to share with us today too. So Kayla You have a story for us. Would you share that with us today?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, for Pastor Michelle, for letting me share my story, and thank you, everyone, for listening. So in June of 2019, I gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. Around August, I started to experience lightheadedness and dizziness that came and went, and by mid-August, it became constant. I could no longer tolerate the light. I felt 24/7 that I was rocking on a boat. I could no longer see straight, and the horizon bended, and my feet were no longer on stable ground. Terrified doesn't begin to describe how I felt. The days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months with little change in my condition. And when I did finally receive some answers, the doctors told me to go home and do my best to live with it. There was little they could do for these kinds of conditions. As Paul would put it in 2 Corinthians 1, I was so utterly burdened beyond my strength that I despaired of life itself. I had made it to church one Sunday and thought today would be the day that I sought someone from the prayer team to pray over me for healing. I had absolutely nothing left but God, and I was beyond desperate. I asked my sister to support me to the front, and sobbing, I actually saw Pastor Michelle and told her I desperately needed prayer for healing, and that's what she prayed for. Now I wish that I could tell you that God took my dizziness right in that moment. I wanted that so bad. But what he took was my fear instead, and he replaced it with courage and his strength. It would be too long to tell you in these few minutes that I have all the ways, the doors that he opened to finding my feet again and experiencing relief in my condition. The moments that God would have only been able to direct me in. Every door that I asked for was open, and he's still doing that for me to this day. I have learned to fully trust him despite my understanding, and when I tell my story, he is who I speak of.
Thank you for sharing that, Kayla. So in your story, what would be your encouragement to us today?
If you feel the weight from your burden and circumstances, know that you have a Father who loves you, who hasn't forgotten you, and he is able to do more than you could ask or imagine.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Kayla. Thank you, Kayla. And so as Kayla has received the presence of Jesus with her as she walks in her condition, in many ways healed, and yet still longing for healing, we sit in that. There is tension in that, isn't there? And we face that tension in this passage today as well, and I think it's something that we do need to point out, and we do need to name, that some of us are healed, and some of us aren't yet. Some of us are healed in part, and long for more. And for Jairus, he too stood in this moment. And immediately after this wonder where this woman was healed, somebody comes to his attention. He comes from his house and he shares that his daughter is passed. And he says, "Don't bother this teacher anymore." So gutting. It would be so hard to hear that. And I can't even imagine the pain of this man to lose his only daughter. That's a reality that we have faced as a church family, and we have a family in our church that is facing that right now. So what do you do with that? Like, Lord, what now? The desperation that we have to say, heal us, we're falling at Jesus' feet, it's now met its finality for Jairus. And in the face of this, there are people in the crowd. They're still saying, they're weeping, they're wailing. We see an honest human response to this. People crying out. And we also see people laughing in disbelief at what Jesus says he'll do. And that is, I love the Bible for that. It is so honest, like that we have real human response to pain. But Jesus looks in the face of the crowd coming in and saying what they will, Jesus looks at Jairus face to face. He slows it all down and he zooms in and he says, "Don't be afraid, but just believe, and she will be healed." Commenter David Garland notes that this verb healed can also be translated as saved. And Jesus uses this word to say that he is saving every part of her. Just like I said earlier, a miracle doesn't just point to this person at this time, but it points that he is in the business of healing everything. And in the middle of this passage, it holds a statement that we all need to hear when we live and we walk in the tension. We see healing for some, but not for others. And how do we respond? Well, Jesus, he's expressing this key truth for us. Do not fear, but believe, and you will be healed. So in the face of his daughter's death, will Jairus bow to the pressure of the crowd and believe that nothing could happen from this hopeless situation? Or will he not fear, but believe? Well, we know. We see Jesus is in their home. He took the girl by the hand and he said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned to her and she stood up. She had been healed. Well, the story, it places us in the world of two characters. Kids, when you are in school, have you looked at stories and you look at how they're composed? Are any of you in that unit in language arts and you get to see, like, this story has these ties and it has these differences? And I always found it really fun to look at stories and see the ties and the contrasts. And this story has that too. We have two people in this story. We have one point. So we have Jairus. He was a reputable man. He was a male synagogue leader, which means he would have just had honor to his name. He could have walked about in the crowds comfortably. People would have known him and respected him. He obviously has means. He has a household, a home. And then we have this woman. She's nameless. And her ailment keeps her from community. She would have been a wanderer, going from physician to physician, not able to come into the temple, not able to be in a relationship. And it's actually, her touch of Jesus is mentioned four times, and I think this passage is just saying she was unclean. Jesus was clean. She was unclean, and she touched him. But she had no honor to her name. And even in her shame, she approaches Jesus from behind. So these two, Jairus and this woman, they could not be on more opposing ends of the social and economic and religious spectrum. Yet they both share their desperate desire to be healed. And they both share the belief that Jesus had the power to heal them. And they both reach out. They fall at his feet while Jesus slows everything down, all the noise, all the crowd, all the panic, and he sees them. And he reaches back. He calls the woman daughter, and he restores her. He holds the hand of this little girl and raises her to life. Two people, one point. There is no circumstance, there is no place, there's no person where Jesus' healing can't reach. So who are you today? Are you Jairus? If we sit in pain today and you think, what have I done wrong? Why am I owed this? Lord, I serve. Why did you take this away? Or do you feel like you're on the outside, ashamed, wondering, does Jesus care? Does he see my pain? Am I too far to be reached? If any of you feel undeserved or unseen of this pain, I'm here to remind you that he sees you and Jesus cares. He is reaching his hand out to you because there's no circumstance, no person, and no place where his healing touch can't reach. I want to invite another friend to come up and share, Carla. Carla serves every Sunday at our 9 a.m. service with our grades 2 and 3s. Such a blessing to our ministry. She serves faithfully and she shares the good news of Jesus everywhere she goes. So Carla, we'd love for you to share your story today with us.
Thank you. So when I was 14 in grade 9, I was in a car accident with four others and I was the one that was most critically injured, other than the lady who died. Mm-hmm. So I was rushed to the hospital, where a doctor was called to do emergency surgery on my head. I was in a coma for 10 to 12 days, and in the hospital for about half a year, as I had to learn everything all over again. Mm-hmm. My ABCs, my colors, my shapes. Walking, speaking, I had to be potty trained again. So doctors predicted that my recovery did not hold much hope. I'm so glad my parents didn't share those predictions with me. Now, during my recovery, in my teens, I did struggle, you know, pushing God away, because I did not have the faith that He could turn my mess into anything good. But I have realized that my life was not falling apart. It was falling together, falling into place. And God is using me in my trauma and in my difficult journey. He has healed me in a way that gives me a unique, non-threatening empathy and compassion for others. I currently work for the Langley School District at WGSS with my turquoise wagon, my bunny, my dog, and three quail. because God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And then, as Michelle was saying, also with the kiddos in grade 2 or 3 in the 9 a.m. service.
Yeah. Carla, thank you for sharing your story. And you really, God has surpassed what doctors said that you would do. And you truly do shine wherever you go. What would be your encouragement to us today as we hear your story?
I guess I would want to encourage you that you are the person that God has created you to be just for such a time as this.
Amen. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Carla. Yeah. Well, if you want to hear more of Carla's story, she actually shared it in depth with our Living Well support group, so you can go online to our Living Well page on our website and hear more about that. Because Carla has faced lower valleys than she shared and higher highs than she shared too. And yet God has been with her through that, through all of that, given her a plan and a purpose. And in her suffering, I don't know if you see it in other people that follow Jesus, that have walked a road of suffering. There's something different about those people. I imagine those people, if there was a cloth in between them and Jesus, the suffering, as painful and hurtful as suffering is, starts to wear away at the cloth a little bit, pokes holes through it, and you see the shining glory and the healing and the love of Jesus pouring through that person. And I see that in Carla. She really does sparkle everywhere she goes because she's been there. She's felt the pain, and Jesus has held her. And wherever He's healed her, she walks in healing, bringing that to others. And as hard and painful as that is, there's a lot of beauty. And I'm thankful that she's here today and blesses our community because of that and in that. But for some of us, we still might hear this story and we still might wonder, yeah, but it still hurts. What I'm walking through still hurts. Why are there miracles for some and not others? Why am I not healed, not totally healed? We look up to God and say, hello, this hurts. We have questions. We will always have questions. Why did you give that and take it away? Why Do we struggle conceiving? Why did you take dear Eleanor away? Why did that happen in my past? Why is my marriage struggling? Why are my kids not walking with you, Lord? Why? I don't know. I wish I could tell you why. I don't exactly know. And Pastor Matthew, he actually shared a really helpful perspective a few weeks back in his sermon, The Healer, in our Holy Spirit series. And he gave us three perspectives that we can look at. When we don't see healing, how do we view that? So one is, we could just think of it that God has passed over us, that he's like, nah, that one, no, I'll just let that one go, and he won't help us. That's one way that we could look at it. We could look at it, number two, as if everything that happened in the Bible, that those miracles that happened, they stay there, and they don't pass over to right now, that everything that we read happened then, we have the Bible now, good for us, but it keeps our minds safe, especially when we don't see healing. We think like, okay, you know what, that happened then, but not now. That was then, this is now. Just saying that we just don't need those miracles today. That would be called cessationism. But we don't see those two options in the Bible. You know, what we really see is we see attention. And Matthew, he actually uses this image all the time. He uses the image of the kingdom of God. It's an image of it being here, already here, but not yet. So the kingdom, when Jesus came, he was bringing his kingdom. And everywhere he was, his kingdom reigned. He was king, and we saw miracles, wonders. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. He died, he rose again, and he gave us his Holy Spirit, giving us a helper wherever we go, that he will have a helper with us. And today, we still see healings. We pray and we see people healed. We are filled with the Spirit where we go. We can walk. We see God with us. He is with us, and we can read it in Scripture. And yet, we have the already and the not yet, because we have a promise from the Lord that he will make all things new, that Jesus will return, that all of our tears will be wiped away, that he has conquered and will conquer over all things. And in this already not yet, we have the kingdom, and yet we also exist in the laws of nature. There is suffering. There just is. And it sucks. It does suck. And that tension is just like, what do we do with that in the already not yet? Well, when we're walking with others in their pain, I think we need to take a hint from Jesus. Like we see in this story, he somehow lived in the balance. You know, he understood the pain, and he got close. Like I've been saying, he paused, he zoomed in. And he had compassion on these people, saying, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to be leaning in, praying. Richard Foster, he says, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power given them. And it will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. So bringing our friends, our people, whether we're with them or not, to the hands of our loving Father, something we can do. And we can also lean into the tension, into the awkwardness when people have pain. Kids, we're learning about compassion this week. Our KN5s, or this month, we're learning about compassion. And I encourage you, when you see a friend that's lonely, that's hurting, that had a hard weekend, to lean in and say, what was hard about that? What was that like? Here, have my snack today. And for us as adults, asking those same things. What was that like? I'm bringing you supper. I'm sending you a funny meme. I can't fix you, but I can listen. I can pray, and I can hold your hand and bring you to a loving God and a powerful God. And when this tension enters to ourselves, to our own world, when we are in suffering, I want to challenge us to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Just as Jesus encouraged Jairus, he said, don't be afraid, but believe. Or think of the woman reaching out, arms up, extending, help, help. Pick me up, help me, Lord. I have a son, Willis. He's not quite two, and he's having a harder time controlling his emotions these days. And it comes up pretty regularly from day to day. And for me, when that happens, I kind of freeze. I think like, oh, like how can I fix this quickly? I'll give you a cookie or like, let's watch a show. But my husband, he's a little bit more disciplined than I am. It's kind of like a magic power. When he thinks something, he does it. It's so weird. I can't do that, but he can. Anyway, so when it comes to our son, he takes him in his anger and his outburst, and he just brings him to his room, and he holds him. Willis is flailing and screaming, and Spencer says he's like swatting at his face. It's very intense, and Spencer just holds him. He says, I know it's hard. I know you're mad. I know. Just breathe. I'm right here. Breathe in. Breathe out. I know it's hard. I'm right here. Sometimes his emotions come to an end, and sometimes they come up again, and Spencer just stays, and he holds him. I know it's hard. I'm right here. Just breathe. I like to think that Jesus sits with us like that in our pain. He knows. It's hard. He has compassion on us. And when I think about Jesus, you know, I wonder, why did he like the outcasts and the meek and the mild so much? It's because Jesus knew that suffering was our reality. Suffering exists within the laws of nature. It existed in the Bible, and it exists today. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he came. John 10:10 says, and this is Jesus speaking, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If we take any comfort from this passage today, it's this. There is not one person, there's not one circumstance, there's no place where Jesus' healing touch cannot reach. He will take the hand of you on this side and the hand of you on this side. He holds out his hands and willingly gives his life to pay for the sin that comes to steal and kill and destroy us. And like a bridge on the deck of cards, he holds the tension of suffering and healing, longing for healing in his hands on the cross. And our Jesus, he faces suffering head on. He's a superhero. We sing that song with our juniors. Jesus is our superhero. He doesn't go over suffering. And he doesn't go under it. He doesn't go around it. No, Jesus goes through it. This is the way of Jesus. This is the kind of God we follow. If there's any comfort, know that we follow a God that knows about suffering, and he walks with us through it. If there's no circumstance, no person, no place where his healing touch can't reach, that means that we need to do something too, though. We need to reach out to Jesus. And I want to ask you, if you're Jairus today, asking, Lord, why? And if you are this like this woman on the outside, like, I'm not even seen. I want to ask you today to open your arms up. And this is, if you're comfortable, whatever your journey, it's a posture to receive from God. We're going to pray here and to open your arms and just say, I'm open, Lord. It's not magic to open your hands up like this. It's just you saying, yeah, I'm open. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm going to pray, Lord, you can't take us where we're not willing to go. And so we say, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. In our suffering, Lord, we need you and we reach out to you. As you speak to Jairus in his deepest fear, speak to us. Do not be afraid, but believe and you will be healed. Would you meet us, Jesus, in our need, in the tension, as we celebrate, as we mourn? Walk with us and heal us, Lord, today. If you resonate with this, I want to encourage you today that we have people in our prayer room that are ready to pray with you. They would love to pray for healing for you. We see healing happen, thousands of prayers answered, thousands sometimes not answered yet, and yet we pray. We are called to pray. Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as the music starts, I encourage for you to go and ask for prayer today. Just as Kayla went a few months ago. Well, I want to end with a simple song, because this last week I was actually helping with our juniors, and I love working with our kids because we talk about all of these things together, but in a simpler way. We were singing Jesus Loves Me downstairs, and our leader was signing the words, Jesus loves me. And it just struck me. It's so simple that the compassion of Jesus in this song is just shown in the sign that it's in his hands. The same hands that are pierced for us are the same hands that took that little girl and brought her back to life. And the hands that reach out to us with life eternal, they are the same hands that hold us as we sit in this tension. And that's the hand that I'm looking for in the crowd. That's the hand I want to hold. So I want to sing this song together. Would you sing with me, Jesus Loves Me? Let's sing it together, okay? Okay. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.